Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with Greg Johnson at the Andersons right here in Champaign, Illinois, and discuss the weather forecast with John Davis at Earthrisk Technologies in Chicago. And it all happens during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. You can also order your tickets for our November the 24th Farm Assets Conference. That is just $25 in Normal, Illinois, the Monday prior to Thanksgiving. We'll have a dozen of our regular on-air analysts, along with three University of Illinois agricultural economists on hand to take a look at the marketplace, at crop insurance, at the value of land, at the brand new farm program on Monday, November the 24th. It's just $25. Sign up right now on our website at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago for this Monday afternoon, this is the way the numbers finished up. Down a penny and a quarter in the December contract for the corn at $3.30 and a quarter. March at 3.42 and three quarters. That's a penny and a half lower. In the May at 3.51 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. July corn opinion 3/4 lower at 3.58 and a quarter. In December of next year at 3.76 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. From the soy complex, bean futures nearby November 18 and 3/4 lower at $9.38 and a quarter. January 9.45 and 3/4 down 19 and a half. The March 20 and a half at 9.52 and a quarter. That finished lower, that is. May futures at 9.58 and 3/4 down 20 and 3/4. And July soybeans at 964 and a quarter, down 21 and a quarter. November of next year, down 19 cents on the day at 951 and a half. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October at 155.35, 27 and a half cents lower. The feeder cattle were also down 45 cents in the September at 230.15. The October up 57 and a half at 229.30. And the lean hogs for the day finished up the October at 107.45. That's $1.47. 7 1/2 higher for the afternoon. A quick look at the wheat market, where the soft red winter wheat was up 2 1/4 at 4.76 3/4. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The crude oil for the day is now trading at $91.46 a barrel, down 95 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.68.9, down 2 6/10 cents. Gasoline prices at $2.58.9, 2 2/10 cents lower. Natural gas up a penny and 9 cents at $3.85 3/4. We finished ethanol futures off the day at $1.63 5, down 2 4/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 17,088 is down 124 points for the day, and the gold futures are trading at $1,214 or thereabouts, down $1.25. The U.S. dollar index at 84.86 is down 0.005 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies and a high of 68 degrees on a north wind at about 7 miles an hour tonight. Clear, a low of 44, light and variable winds, and then tomorrow, sunny skies and 72. A calm wind out of the south-southeast at 5 to 7. Clear on Tuesday night and 49 degrees. The winds will turn to the east at 7 miles an hour, and they'll turn to the southeast by the time we get to Wednesday at 6 to 10 with a high of 75 degrees and sunny skies. Wednesday night, clear and 52. Thursday, sunny and 78. Thursday night, mostly clear and 53 degrees. On Friday, sunny skies, 78 degrees, mostly clear Friday night for the beginning of the weekend with a low of 54. Saturday, sunny and 77. Saturday night, clear and 55. And on Sunday, sunny skies and a high near 76 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with John Davis at Earthrisk Technologies.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us to take up the marketplace for the day. Hi, Kurt. How are you this afternoon?
Well, good, Todd. Very good. And yourself?
No, I'm doing really quite well. When you've been talking with producers throughout the day, and I suspect some of them have been waiting not so patiently trying to get into the field, maybe a few others have started into the field, what are they telling you about the cash prices in their local areas, the disappointment they have, and then I suspect they're asking you what to do and what's your best advice to them?
Well, since we're on the air and according to regulations, I really can't repeat what some of them are thinking about the cash price. We get beep, 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 but, you know, disappointed, you know, but surprised with the decent yields we're seeing, at least the early part in through here. But what to do or what to think comes down to a mathematical equation. You don't have to have calculus, advanced calculus, or Arner's calculus to try to figure out, you know, your different options in through here. I know you've promoted the Daryl and Scott's carry-in charges on out and different options to look at. But what I've been looking at and encouraging producers to maybe consider is, you know, if you got some storage capability to take advantage of. You know, our local corn price particularly is $2.95 here this fall. You know, if you look out to July, we're at $3.60, so there's some carry in the marketplace, and we feel that it warrants maybe look at finding some cheap storage or some economic storage to take advantage of and do a good old-fashioned hedge into next year. Now, just storing and hanging on is not probably going to be a comfort thing to watch through here because the cash might not go up as quite as fast as you want it to. So we kind of look at that as a main idea. There's producers going to be faced with some high carrying charges, storage, and so forth to need the money. And there's some relatively conservative replacement strategies to look at taking advantage of between now and next spring. So this depends on the individual. There is no right answer for everyone. It's one to keep you in a position to profit or be able to take a little bit out of the middle between now and next springtime.
I know that the corn yields we've heard so far from the Delta moving northward have been awfully good. What are your expectations once we get into the more northern areas, north of Interstate 80, for instance, maybe even north of Bloomington, whether that be in Illinois or Iowa, even into Minnesota?
Well, the early yields confirm that we're going to have produce more than we're using, and it's going to be a situation where that supply is going to be there, and it's going to be there for quite a while. But to specifically answer your question there, there's some spots you get on north end through here that was a little too wet early. You know, expectations are for 160 bushel corn would be a very good yield for some good ground, you know, up that route, Interstate 180 corridor. Visiting with producers in southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, they were off to a rough start in through there. You know, expectations, you know, 170 bushel corn would be fantastic for them where, you know, they had the capability of producing, you know, 250 plus. So it's not super duper yields everywhere, but when you look at the big picture, there's enough good spots to kind of bring up the average for those ones that are going to struggle.
Your thoughts on the beginning of soybean harvest and what producers might consider?
Well, it's relatively early. The bean yields remain strong. There are reports that there were some fields that got pretty well smoked in that early, mid-early September frost freeze in Iowa there. So we'll see how those turn out in through here. But beans, particularly, just like the corn there, is kind of a math situation. You got to kind of figure out what your carrying charges are and your cash flow needs. And that's where a lot of the people you have on the program here are very good at helping producers, landowners, bankers kind of sort through here what best strategy suits you to survive for the next 2 years, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. We thank him for taking the time with us. And if you'd like to hear him again, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's take a look at the Monday agricultural news now. Top U.S. trade officials are expected to meet with Japanese trade officials this week in Washington. That, according to a report from The Hill, the two groups are expected to continue dialogue on issues in the Asia-Pacific trade deal. U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman said last week, "We're now at a critical junction in this negotiation." He made those remarks at a Trans-Pacific Partnership event, further stating, "We are working hard with Japan to achieve our shared objectives." Trade talks have been ongoing for months on agricultural trade barriers over the Asia-Pacific trade deal. Well, three companies were awarded contracts to construct biorefineries for drop-in biofuels for the military and the private sector last Friday. The Department of Navy, Energy and Agriculture announced the contracts under a 2011 presidential directive. The contracts are part of the Obama administration's goal to boost and diversify the domestic fuel base, according to Friday's announcement. Secretary of the Navy Ray Mabus stated the contracts being announced today will help expand the operational capability of our Navy and Marine Corps around the world. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack commented, "Anytime our military can use more American-grown fuels instead of relying on foreign sources, it makes our armed forces more energy secure." In total, these projects will produce more than 100 million gallons of military-grade fuel beginning in 2016 and 2017 at a price competitive with their petroleum counterparts. And finally, this news note out of Nebraska, where the Corn Board there is donating some $2 million to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln to create an endowed professorship. The donation will support a professor at the Institute of Agriculture and Natural Resources who will focus on corn and finding new uses for the crop. The money will support the professor's salary and an annual stipend for research. Similar positions focused on wheat and soybeans already exist at Nebraska-Lincoln. Farmer Tim Shear, who leads the Corn Board in Nebraska, says developing more uses for corn will help ensure strong demand for the crop in the future. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Our first ever WILL Ag Farm ASICS Conference is November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. We've got the latest on farmland values, and we'll spend time looking at crop insurance under the new farm bill, as well as the pending ARC-PLC decision. And we've got marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. The cost is just $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org.
Well, if you've been listening to the programs over the last couple of weeks, you know that the FSA numbers show maybe that there are less corn acres available in the United States than most had been thinking, at least through this point, and that an adjustment could be made in the October crop production report due out from the United States Department of Agriculture. Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group is one of those who has been saying these numbers have been wrong and has been doing that for a while. I gave him a call earlier in the day. He was on his farm in northern Illinois. Started out by asking him what the crop was like in his part of the world.
Well, I think in fact, we have some plants that fly, spray, and their thought was that he started moving north of Bloomington. Things started to look questionable earlier this summer. As you can see from the air, some leaf disease setting in, and I always accuse him of saying you're looking for trouble, but in the end they turn out to be right. And now we're seeing this leaf disease coming in where the top of the plant dies, you know, prematurely, we call it. It isn't green. It turns into this grayish, greenish situation where normally you'd see the bottom leaves dry out. And we're seeing a lot of that. I just came from Chicago through 88 in the north on 39, and I saw fields that were, I would say, completely dead. That may be Goss's wilt or something, and maybe something in the soil, but we're seeing patches in the cornfield where spots are dead already. And I took the liberty going into a field just east of DeKalb on Route 64 about a week ago, and I was very disappointed. I can't judge yields by necessarily by looking at them, high population, but the cobs were not there. They weren't as long as my hand, and I guess I wouldn't buy it for 150 bushel an acre, but I'm usually wrong by 10 bushels or more at least. And so we're seeing that as we move further north. I've gone into my fields. I see some dead plants, some fields that were, I think, premature death. I think we either ran out of gas or we had the leaf diseases that were more than normal. And we saw a lot of comments by areas that were affected by water, especially in northern Iowa along that northern county of tier of counties where they have good corn, 200 bushel corn, saying, you know, they lost some to the rain, and they just weren't going to spend the money, good money, taste good money after bad, and by putting fungicide on it and actually making their yield better because they were already at a point where they felt they'd lost 10 to 15% of their crop. So why support the insurance companies? And they just went on, and I think that's part of a problem you're seeing. In Iowa, northern Iowa, I think north of Route 20 perhaps, and even in the southern Minnesota, we're hearing first harvest reports, very disappointing from the people that are doing silage in northwestern Iowa to people that are doing silage and cutting corn, actually, in, I'd say, halfway between Jackson, Minnesota, and the Mayo Clinic in that area. They said, you know, that 180 corn that we heard about and you guys with 200 bushel in Illinois, it isn't happening here. We're lucky to get 145 to 150. So we'll see as it moves further north. But I think we have a problem surfacing. I don't know if it's going to offset these outrageous yields we're hearing out of anywhere south of me, you know.
So I guess, Jerry, it'll all come down to what USDA does with the October crop production report and its adjustment to acreage, won't it?
Yes, and I think that's the big unknown out there and what they will, how they will use the FSA acres. And I think the important thing to note is up until the FSA dump, they call it, or releasing those certified acres, most of the acres that we've received have been intentions and revised intentions that we, the farmer, told the government through surveys in March and then again in June, 1st of June, that what we intended to do and our intentions in line. And, of course, June 1st, the intentions were probably to continue to plant corn, and here came the rains. And I think that may have changed some things further. And that's what we're getting now are those numbers. And I think they imply some things that says that the crop maybe is as low as 87.5, maybe 89. Hard to find anybody that agrees with that just because it seems so outrageously departure from what the 91.6 is in USDA. But in looking at our survey that we took back in early March and even in hints in February was that our clients never intended to plant more corn, intended to move corn to beans like everybody else, and they stayed with that. And it was some of the larger farmers moved 20% to beans perhaps and didn't really migrate back either. And all of May pretty much told us if we were to take market signals, don't plant the corn, we don't want it, plant some beans. And I think based on our survey that was the intention in the beginning, and all that did is solidify intentions with the corn price going down. And we saw some movement, especially going north of I-90 on into Minnesota. We know people that have changed their maturity 3 or 4 or 5 times, you know, trying to keep on planting corn, finally they just gave up on it. And in northern Minnesota and in North Dakota, of course, we saw quite a switch. So the hard part is to believe that farmers would do that, but we did it before. If you recall, in 2008, we switched back to soybeans from corn in 2007 because of price. So we've been known to react to price, and certainly prices was a lot more important this year than what it might have been back then because our input costs weren't the size they are now. So I think we reacted to it. We'll see. If the number is 87.5, we're in for a shock. I don't know if you'll I thought at one time that you probably won't be able to buy corn at 1101 if the number comes in at 87.5 planted. But with the high yields coming in here, the market is sure telling me that it doesn't make any difference what Jerry thinks. The yield is going to offset any kind of reduction that we want to pencil in, and down is down, and it's going to continue until we see something fundamentally concrete that we can hang our hat on that says the crop isn't is worth a lot more than 335 or 330 or 290, depending on what some of the people are looking at. So a lot's going to be decided in my mind, and I think in the minds of the traders, as to just, whether, I think the shock would come if we're right about our numbers that the U.S. farmer is more adept at taking market signals and financially astute now than what he was, 10, 20 years ago when most of the people thought we just planted corn because we like to plant corn,
That's, of course, Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group out of Chicago, Illinois. I spoke with him a bit earlier in the day from his farmstead in the northern part of the state. Now on the phone line to take a look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Greg, thanks for being with us. I hear you folks at the Andersons were really busy on Saturday. Why was that the case?
Well, it was a combination of a couple of things. We had a quick shipment bid by Saturday. It was about 15 cents better than our fall bid. On top of that, we had the reduced rate drying, better than half price drying. We're normally 3.5 cents a point, but on Saturday we were 1.5 cents a point. And then some other elevators were closed on Saturday. So that combination led us to probably the most trucks we've dumped since I've been here in 25 years. So it was a very busy day on Saturday.
Oh, what a zoo. And today, I suspect, is entirely different.
Yes, the quick shipment premium has gone. Most of the processors have really faded their corn and bean bids, so not as much incentive to get corn and beans in as early. There's still a little bit of premium, but not much. And with the reduced drying rate having gone away, now I think most farmers are in a mode to let it dry down in the field naturally. And we are starting to see some corn in the low 20s. So there is some corn coming in, but for the corn that's in the mid to upper 20s, it's probably still going to be another 5 days to a week before they really get going on that.
I heard a couple of fields go 21 or 22, just a couple of rounds at least yesterday out of Central Illinois. So things are drying down fairly quickly. Gut slot of harvest going to begin when? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you think?
Farmers will be back in the field by then. And like I say, if they do have dry corn, we'll probably start to see a little bit. But some farmers have said their beans are starting. Some of the beans will be ready by the end of the week. And so maybe we'll see a switch over to beans and let that corn dry down even more until next week.
Oh, will that force you to have a quick shipment on corn again?
I don't think so. No, I think we got enough corn in that we're good for a while.
Oh, one day and a lot of trucks did the job, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to be hopeful for them, but I guess that's not going to be the case.
Well, I hope it is. I hope there is another quick shipment premium out there that somebody needs corn, because I think we've proven that if somebody wants corn in a hurry, our farmers can deliver the goods.
Yeah, what do your bids look like for the day?
Let's see. Cash corn is $3.15 for September delivery. And $3.03 for October, November. So still got a little bit of a quick shipment premium there. Beans are $9.28 for September delivery, $9.18 for October, November. And then the wheat bid is $4.48 this year and $4.83 next year.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, Greg Johnson of the Andersons joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National White Chocolate Day. White chocolate was first introduced in Switzerland a few years after World War I. Production began in 1930 by the Nestle Company. A year later, the M&M Candy Company introduced the U.S. to white chocolate, manufacturing it in New Hampshire. By the way, since 2004, U.S. white chocolate must contain, by weight, at least 20% cocoa butter. It's also St. Maurice's Day, patron of knife grinders. On this day in agricultural history in 1777, John Bartram died, an American botanist. He is considered by many the father of American botany. Bartram established a botanical garden in Philadelphia in 1728, the oldest living botanical garden in the U.S., where many giant trees may still be seen that he planted. In 1877, Victor Shelford was born, an American zoologist and ecologist. He was one of the first to treat ecology as a separate science. And in 1985, the first Farm Aid concert was held at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. Willie Nelson, Neil Young, and John Mellencamp organized the first concert to raise awareness about the loss of family farms and to raise funds to keep family farms on their land. The show was put together in 6 weeks and was held before a crowd of 80,000 people and a live television audience. It raised over $9 million for America's family farmers. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. John Davis at Earth Risk Technologies on the phone line to take up the weather forecast. When I look at this week, John, I see sunny skies and 70. Sunny skies and 70, sunny skies and 70. It looks really gorgeous. What can you tell me about it?
Yeah, it does, although we're going to have one day that's like 69. So, but other than that, yeah, it looks beautiful. So really for the entire week, we're looking at a dry bias. We're looking at a generally warm bias for the whole central portion of the country. And so that's going to be the trend here over the next 7 days. So obviously there's no cold weather threat here across the Midwest. And then as for fieldwork operations, they will be basically open the entire week. And as we begin to harvest, see a pickup of harvest activity, that will be quite favorable for fieldwork operations. So a very good week here from an ag standpoint across all sections here of the Midwest, the Delta, and the Central and Northern Plains.
I'd like to know, John, about the evaporation rates over that time frame. It's awfully wet, and producers would like to get some of that moisture up out of the soil.
Well, certainly with this kind of a pattern, you tend to see higher evaporation rates, of course, in the summer than you do at this time of year. But we will have relatively low dew points. We're going to have pretty breezy conditions out there across the belt. So your evaporation rates, again, for this time of year, will be above normal or relatively good. But that, of course, is less than what you tend to see in July or early August when you have very high evaporation rates across the middle of the country.
So this week should be a great week to the start of harvest across the Corn Belt. What about next week?
Well, I mean, next week we tend to go a little bit more active, but think of it this way, is that after a dry week this week, we go into a pattern next week, which takes us into early October, of a very normal type of a rainfall pattern across most sections of the Midwest. But there's no sign of any kind of heavy rain developing across the areas of the Midwest. Kind of light to moderate activity, a couple of frontal systems working through, and so it doesn't look like anything problematic. But that second week will be a week of more normal type conditions, more normal type precip rates here across the Midwest, along with a continuation of the warm temperatures. So we continue to be on the warm side.
Turn your attention from the Midwest and the Northern Hemisphere now to the Southern Hemisphere, where the planters will begin to roll or are already rolling in parts of Brazil and, of course, Argentina.
They will, and their start is going to be quite good. Brazil is kind of the key area now that when they get their rains at this time of year, especially in the more northern tropical areas, they tend to plant, and they are getting that here in the next couple of weeks. So they're seeing a big increase in their rain activity across that area, and that will initiate quite a bit of bean planting here as you go from now into early October in those areas. So the moisture base, the overall pattern, it's quite favorable for South America as we head into the new season.
Thanks, John, for the update. We sure do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
John Davis with Earth Risk Technologies joining us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. To wrap up our program, you have a safe afternoon in the combine if you're there. If not, be ready later in the week. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.